What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday night. And thank you to everybody who's been helping us out here on Sith Council. And what I mean by that is whether you're clicking a like or throwing a comment or subscribing to us on the podcast feed, especially Spotify. Our Spotify has been growing tremendously, and that's because you guys have been helping. As we mentioned many times over, we don't do the Schmobot here. We don't do Super Chats. We don't do any of it. The way people always ask, well, how can I support the channel? Well, you can do that by obviously clicking a like and subscribing to it, but also making sure you follow us on Spotify. And speaking of subscribing to us, show a little bit of class. Well, you just show a little bit of class. And subscribe there. Hit that notification button. Hit the like button. Do all of it. It's going to be a good show here today. I got Steph Sabra in studio with me. And we're going to be talking about Star Wars as we do on the Sith Council show. And there's not like a ton of news, but I think we're going to get into a good conversation. Probably be a shorter show today, but we'll definitely talk about our hype on Obi-Wan, because that's really what it comes down to as we get closer and closer with Obi-Wan. But there's a new comic book coming out. There's also the sequel cast has been, I don't know, it seems like they're sniffing around doing something else, whether it's Oscar Isaac getting more involved in Star Wars stuff again. Does it mean anything at all? It could mean nothing, but could mean something. Myself, Steph Sabra, Sith Council, let's do it.
I can feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger.
All right, everybody. What's going on? And we are back on Sith Council. Good to have you here. And good to have Steph Sabra back in studio. It's finally back to get off that silly StreamYard. I like StreamYard. It did its purpose, but we're back in studio.
Yeah, it's better.
And you're going to be back tomorrow because you're going to be here for Big Thing, me, you, and Brett Sheridan.
Yeah,
back in studio.
Brett's birthday.
We're pumped about it. It's Brett's birthday tomorrow, so please join us on Big Thing. That'll happen tomorrow. And yeah, man. So this is there's some stuff going on. We'll start with the first one. And there's this Obi-Wan comic that I just saw. What the hell is it? A Disney reveals cover for Padawan. It's a new novel focused on young Obi-Wan Kenobi training with Qui-Gon Jinn. Friend of the show, Miguel Fernandez, wrote it. And he says, Disney Lucasfilm Press has revealed the official cover for the upcoming novel Padawan from author Kirsten White. The new book will focus on the training of young Padawan Obi-Wan Kenobi under the guidance of Master Qui-Gon Jinn in a story seemingly set before the events of Claudia Gray's Master and Apprentice. Check out the official cover here, revealed by Amazon. I guess I'll put the actual cover here. That's kind of it, but it's kind of cut off. So I'll try to get the actual.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, that's just part of it. So you can just go check out Miguel's article on StarWarsNewsNet.com. This is what the synopsis is. Obi-Wan Kenobi really wants to be a good Padawan, the best Padawan, but there's that feeling more and more impossible with his new master, Qui-Gon Jinn. All of Obi-Wan's friends are off training to be real Jedi, getting mission experience, while he's on Coruscant, practicing his forms and sitting in silent contemplation. Ever since Qui-Gon's former master, Dooku, left the Order, it feels like Qui-Gon has been too busy trying to connect with the Force or arguing with the Jedi Council to properly train his Padawan. When Obi-Wan finally convinces Qui-Gon to take him on a mission to a remote planet once explored by an ancient Jedi, his master doesn't show up the morning they are there to leave, so Obi-Wan impulsively takes off by himself. Upon arriving on the mysterious lush planet, he encounters a group of teenagers with no adult supervision and who all seem to have some connection to the Force. Free from the constraints of the Order, Obi-Wan joins them in their daring adventures, but the Padawan side of him keeps questioning the teen's strange relationship to the Force and to the verdant plan around them, and what all of it might mean to his future. Obi-Wan will test the limits of his relationship to the Jedi and the Force in his exciting yet soulful exploration of one of the Star Wars' most enduring heroes. In its July 26, 2022 release date is no coincidence, being 2 months after the debut of the highly anticipated Obi-Wan Kenobi on May 25th. Therefore, 4 weeks after the finale, while the show will not cover this period of Kenobi's life, it'll be a nice companion for those who leave the live-action series wanting more Kenobi. Okay, so I think that Miguel kind of sums that up pretty well at the end there. This is not something I think that you need to read in order to know what's going on or even lock in at all, but it's basically, hey, Obi-Wan's back and there's an Obi-Wan book. So why don't you like reading about Obi-Wan? Here's some stuff like kind of leading up to it.
Yeah. It's an interesting premise, yeah. though. Do you think that, I don't know timeline-wise if they even announced this, but you know the kids series that they were going to focus on with like Amandala?
Yeah.
Do you think that those could
Amandala's in Acolyte.
In Acolyte?
Yeah, she's in Acolyte. Excuse me.
They're in Acolyte.
There, thank you.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it can connect, but Star Wars hasn't really taken the leap to fully connect their books or their off-film properties together to one another. The premise doesn't seem that interesting to me.
I feel like I've read it before in Legends. I feel like it's been there before, too, and I think that... But what it does mean, though, as we've mentioned many times over, even before the announcement of the date, Qui-Gon is going to show up.
Yeah.
It's going to be the big reveal. It's going to be the one where we find out, you know, you don't have to announce him. I am glad they're not announcing him. They don't need to announce that he's going to be in the show, but I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion that he's going to be in it. And maybe this kind of plays into maybe a mention.
Building that character.
Yeah, maybe a
more.
Mention also. Like, remember how impatient you were when we first began your training and how, and then it's like it's a mention inside of it, and you're like, oh, well, this is what they mentioned in the series, and now you get to see some of that. So that could be a good tie-in there, or could just mean exactly that here's Obi-Wan, you want to learn more about him, or read a book.
Yeah, because he is a character that we've all wanted to flesh out more, so.
Yeah, and I think that it's more about, I don't know, man, it's more about the fact that we're just getting this series very soon. That's more what I'm kind of excited about, I think. I don't know. It's the movie itself. When they announced like a Han Solo movie, I was like, why? When they announced when there was rumors about a Boba Fett movie, I was like, why?
Mm-hmm.
When they said that they were to talk about a young Yoda movie years ago, I was like, why? Obi-Wan's the only one I was like, yes. Like, that's one I want to see. I'm so curious about it because I just felt there were so many open-ended things. And then when they transferred that from film into TV, I don't know, man. This is to me one of the most, I think you said it off air, it's like one of the most highly anticipated television shows for me ever.
Yeah, period.
Yeah.
I think because Obi-Wan's a rare character where we did get a lot of him, but seemingly not enough.
Right.
And he was seemingly the only, like the major part of the prequels that we enjoyed.
Yeah.
As a collective.
Yeah. I mean, as we've talked about in our rewatches,
like
they've grown on me. I certainly wasn't. I mean, there's tons of footage of me for years not embracing those things. And then I remember the moment very much so, sitting right there with my daughter, my oldest, watching Phantom Menace and watching her eyes and going, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And I just watched the prequels so differently now, and also watching them with, when you combine it into like a Clone Wars episode, I watched them differently, but it doesn't change the fact that Ewan McGregor is the best part of it, hands down. And to be able to give him an opportunity to explore this character more, I think it's something he always wanted to do. So I can't wait. Because I think it could be a little, it's going to be heartbreaking. I think it's going to be darker. I think it's going to be endearing when you get to see, you know, young 10-year-old Luke. We're definitely getting Leia too.
Yeah. But yeah, it is going to be heartbreaking. Obi-Wan's life sucks in a lot of
sucks.
Ways. He's lost everyone
yeah.
that he really has connected to.
Yeah, and he got stuck. He got stuck on Tatooine while Bail Organa gets to just camp out on Alderaan with Leia.
Yeah, sucks. Yeah. He's had Anakin go, Qui-Gon go, Satine go.
Yeah,
that and you're on Tatooine.
If there was anybody that should have went to the dark side,
yeah. Yeah. It should have been Obi.
No, and he just got more serene as it went on, and you see that in Rebels. Like that scene, I always pushed back against people who said that fight should have been longer with him and Darth Maul. He was so far superior in his like religion and just powers in general when he... It was a mismatch.
Yeah, and if you watch the Clone Wars, then I think you would see that even more because you see Maul coming back, and he had to transform into something different to compete.
Yeah, Maul was fighting him. Maul was trying to fight him the same way he did in Phantom Menace with that pure anger, and he was fighting a very different Obi-Wan. He's fighting that Obi-Wan that was still trying to figure it all out and hadn't really gotten all that balance and had, like... The Obi-Wan that we see in episode 4 is essentially the one that he fights, and it's a mismatch.
Yeah.
And he just takes him out like that and then doesn't. And also, you can tell there's, as you just mentioned, with Satine and all that stuff, there's no animosity with him. He's holding this guy, this damaged creature in his hands, saying this, like, letting him pass. It was a beautiful moment. That's why, another reason why people keep asking, do you think Maul's going to be in this series? I really hope not. I can't imagine that they're going to do it. I mean, there's no reason for him to be in it.
Yeah, because putting him in Clone Wars again, like making that decision of like where they were going to go with his character, I think was a really good reintroduction and ending.
Well, Rebels, you mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right, but then we get him in Clone Wars.
Well, Clone Wars is when he comes back.
Yeah, yeah. And then Rebels is when he lands.
Yeah, right.
It's a great death.
Yes, because Rebels is what the way that I always read it, and people can tell me if I'm wrong or not, but the way I read it, Rebels, was that he's been searching for Kenobi forever.
Yeah.
And that's why he kind of manipulates Ezra to help him with that, with the Sith holocron or whatever. And he's like, and he finally goes, there you are, finally. And he finds him. And people could argue back and say, well, he could have found him on a different, maybe there is a possibility. He shouldn't find, if he does interact with him at all, which I don't think he should, but if he does, it can't be on Tatooine. Because he doesn't know he's on Tatooine until he finds him years later.
Yeah.
If they wind up bumping heads off world, because this thing has to go off world for a lot of different reasons. One, I think there's going to be a separate adventure that Obi-Wan's going to wind up having to do. And this is where the relationship between him and Owen starts to go sour, because you're going to have to see that, why it goes sour. The other thing is that I think because of Boba Fett, you got to get off of Tatooine. You can't spend that much time on Tatooine.
No. And it's just... There's so much of what Obi-Wan was doing outside of Tatooine. We've gone so much of Tatooine with all the movies in the past. So it's like a starting spot for him, could be an ending spot, but it's not the in-betweens.
I think you'll see it's 6 episodes?
Yeah.
What are they saying? It's 6 episodes. So I think the first one will probably be on Tatooine with the setup of, hey, so-and-so needs you for an adventure, or Vader, here's Anakin is still alive. You know, hey, can you think you can do something? Because, I don't know, whatever it might be. Him and Jimmy Smits is rumored to be in this, so Bail Organa probably says something about him, because Bail Organa knows he's on Tatooine, obviously, because that's why Leia contacts him. So, I don't know. A lot of stuff that we could see, and it's right around the corner. May 25th.
I know. I know, I was like reading complaints, I was telling Christian before this, about Bad Batch perhaps getting delayed. I'm like, do we care right now? Because Obi-Wan's earlier than what we thought. A lot of us thought that, it's rumored. It was from like a Reddit user who said that somewhere on their online database, it went from spring 2022 to coming soon. So they believe, it's all rumors, but they believe that means that it's probably not going to be spring. But even so, we have a show coming in spring, so that would make sense to me chronologically.
So what?
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing against Bad Batch, but you've got Bad Batch, you got Obi-Wan, you have Andor, and then Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Three Star Wars shows coming out. Yeah. It's like if Bad Batch gets pushed a little bit, then so be it. Put it in the downtime in 2023. I get there's a lot of people who are like, really love that show. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah, maybe it's just me kind of saying, out of all those, like my anticipation right now is Obi-Wan number one, Mandalorian season 3 number 2, Andor, and then Bad Batch for the ones that are coming this year.
Yeah. Now,
in general, we put that list of together. It's a tougher list. Obi-Wan's definitely number one, and Mandalorian is definitely number two, especially everything that's been set up, right? Ahsoka, I want to see very much so, because of Thrawn and everything that's happening, and it's probably the next on the list. But the Acolyte is so interesting to me because we're playing with Sith stuff here.
Yeah.
And I don't know the story enough. I don't know. how they're going to play it. It's the first High Republic live action thing that we're going to see, unless it's this Stranger Things show that could come first. I don't know. But I'd probably still give the edge to Ahsoka.
I know. I go back and because Ahsoka used to be right under Obi-Wan for me because she's my favorite character from the Clone Wars and just everything we've seen of her. But I think now Mandalorian really has just taken my soul.
Yeah.
Din Djarin's the coolest character.
That's your number one? Obi-Wan?
Not over Obi-Wan.
Oh, okay.
Ahsoka was before Mando.
Saying, you're the same boat as me, Obi-Wan and Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're just so set up with those characters. I will say, though, would I watch Boba Fett season 2 if they put it out? Of course. Do I care if they ever bring it back? No.
Yeah.
I think they told the story. What more story do you have to tell with that?
Yeah.
Like, now there's new crime lords that are going to try to take over that he's not going to be too tough about?
Yeah. We got the story. We got more Boba. I think it's good where it was.
It was good. And Boba, to me, Boba Fett was, I enjoyed watching the show. I'm not down on the show like everybody else too, but I do think that I was never on board with a Boba Fett thing. Like when Josh Trank was supposed to be a part of it, all of that, I was like, why? And then they brought Boba Fett in during Mandalorian. I'm like, that's the Boba Fett we're going to see? Yeah, I want to see a series. But it's really not the series that we got. The Din was more compelling in Boba Fett than Boba Fett was. Fennec was way more compelling than Boba Fett was. The Wookiee was more compelling than Boba Fett was.
Yeah. Arguably the best Boba episode was the penultimate episode of season 2 of Mandalorian.
Yes, that's what I mean. When they re-released him back like that, because he was way more, he was like with that scene that he's got with Bo-Katan that was the finale, I think, but when he's pissy and he's firing off shit and he's ready to fight. That guy wasn't in the Boba Fett series. And some people are like, well, he changed. It wasn't very far removed from that. It was after the stuff with the Tuskens, he changed. That Mandalorian thing was after that. So he should have been the same. He should have been consistent. So, I don't know. I just, like I said, would I watch in the season of it? Sure. But it is so, I think they can explore so much other shit that they don't need to do that one again.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What'd you think about, I heard some criticism about Ahsoka. They thought Ahsoka looked better in Mandalorian as opposed to the episode. I think that was just because we saw her in the sun and Mando was shot in darkness.
Her mannerisms were phenomenal. She pulled the straight up all the from the stance to the hand movements, all of it. It was great. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me.
Yeah,
at this point, it's you've got to separate your idea of what Ahsoka was in because she was a little more light. I think lighter and not as
she was small.
She was
maybe
smaller.
That's because of Anakin,
and I think that there was something more. And I know that obviously she changes because even in Rebels, she's definitely hardened. There's no doubt about it.
But in Clone Wars, she's wearing outfits I would wear.
Right.
She's straight up in a crop top and pants, outfits.
And her younger, and everything too. So I mean, I don't have no problem with the way that I love Rosario Dawson. So I think she's so cool. I think she's playing it great, and I think she kick. And when I can't wait to see her kick ass again.
Yeah.
But the question is, and it does seem like Luke is probably going to show up. They're gonna. I think they keep. That's to me why Luke gave away Grogu, right? Because they pretty much set up that Grogu and Din were a team, and everybody wanted Grogu in the damn thing. I could have done without him, and I like Grogu, but I don't think he needed him in the next season. But apparently, they're like, "Oh, we need Grogu, so he's back." Fine. Luke, I think, has more to do, and I think he's gonna. And I think that they set that up when she says, "He says, am I going to see you again?" She's like, after whatever the answer is, it seemed like it was open, and it seems like it'll probably be like they have an opportunity. The Timothy Zahn novels set up a big confrontation between Luke and Thrawn. Be great if they did that in leading into Ahsoka.
Yeah, I would love for them to talk about Anakin together.
Yeah,
more.
They want to see. I think everybody wants that. See that scene when they first meet.
Yeah,
because at the time when you see them in Mandalorian, they've met. They understand. They clearly. I would love to see that scene of them first meeting, first understanding, having that conversation, her realizing that Anakin came back, all of that. There's a moment that when everything that we've spent with Ahsoka And that heartbreaking moment she has in Rebels when she realizes that Anakin's gone, there's got to be that realization that he came back. And we haven't seen it yet. Doesn't mean they took it from us, but we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see that. Yeah. I feel like they're going to do that. That's just one of those moments that if they're going to go back to an Obi-Wan series, they're going to bring Luke back, then the most important part about Anakin's journey that we haven't seen in live action or even like talked about is his relationship with Ahsoka, which to me is my favorite relationship he's had with anyone other than Obi.
Well, that's, we know that Anakin is going to be in the Ahsoka series, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And so that is, I mean, that has to be, well, it doesn't have to be flashbacks. I think I prefer flashbacks than the Force Ghost walking around, but also it's also possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Force Ghost could be possible if she has the conversation with Luke.
True. Right. Because it's like, that's true. All right. A couple more things here. Star Wars and or Disney Plus. More casting here. Cast David Heyman. So here's the question. I thought they wrapped already, but I guess they didn't wrap. So this is from today or yesterday. One upcoming Disney Plus series that's been relatively under the radar compared to the other anticipated Star Wars series on the service, like The Mandalorian and The Book of Boba Fett, has been Andor. It was previously revealed that Andor would have 12 episodes, but it appears that they're going to be split into two seasons. Ah,
mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No, I found that out today.
All right, wait a minute now. Okay, so then that makes more sense when they are announcing season two. So
and K2SO.
So it's six episodes. Okay. So it's basically six episodes a season, and they've already filmed it. Okay. Now, that to me makes more sense than announcing a season two when you just finish it. So that to me is, it's a bummer that you get less episodes, but encouraging that they're going to split it up into two because they're that confident enough with the first season.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Recently, it was said that the first season of Andor would release on Disney Plus in the fourth quarter of 2022. So any recent filming activity with Andor is for its second season. Got it. Okay. Especially after composer Nicholas Britell was brought on to score the series. So fans should be happy to learn about a new addition to the cast of Andor for its second season. According to the Scottish tabloid The Daily Record, David Heyman was spotted on set for Andor in Scotland, the same location that the series is currently filming in. When the 74-year-old actor was asked directly about his involvement, he had a laugh about it, and he said how it was all meant to be top secret. His quote, everything was supposed to be top secret. About 500 film crew descended on Oban, and nobody was supposed to know what was happening, but folk were coming up to me and asking if I was doing my Wonders of Scotland program or Star Wars. Everybody knew what was happening. It was hilarious. Additionally, while Heyman's role on Andor is unknown, the tabloid claimed he would be playing a key character. Heyman has extensive film and television career. He was in UK Trial and Retribution, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, Fisherman's Friends, and the first two seasons of Top Boy, though he's been largely a part of productions like 2014's Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, and 2015's Macbeth. Andor will be Heyman's first major franchise role. Who could he be playing? Well, they said it didn't have to be too elaborate. Let's see. Heyman's character, some hermit in isolation. It's been unbelievable if he was another Jedi in hiding, although there are plenty of those who were surely killed. So it's not out of the question, but it's a matter of key that matters. It could be an essential role within the story, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know enough about the gentleman. Seems like people are excited about it, but more casting. But I think the bigger story is what we just talked about at the top of it, and that's the 12 episodes that they're shooting. Six of them to be season one, six of them to be season two. I like that strategy.
That makes so much sense. Yeah. I had never read that before.
No, I like that strategy because it's, and I think that right now when you hear about it, like, oh, that's not enough. But I think after you get six episodes of Obi-Wan, right, you're going to go, okay, six episodes.
It's three movies.
Six episodes, I'm in. And then the other thing you're going to then realize is that if it comes out in September, You by the time it's over, Mandalorian's going to start really soon. So you're like, okay. And then what that means, though, now is that now you're pushing into 2023. Now you're going to get Mandalorian, which is going to start 2023, and or season two, Ahsoka, Acolyte, Bad Batch, maybe. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good direction. Yeah. They're catching their flow this year. Or seems like spring moving forward is like when Star Wars is starting and not stopping.
It's because they have a plan now.
Yeah.
Can you
believe it?
It's forever. That's all we were asking for, is to show a little class and to get a plan.
That's it.
And they finally have a plan. And the plan is working.
Mm-hmm.
And they're combining stuff and they're setting. Oh, and by the way, that's five that we mentioned. And we don't even know if this rumor of this other series, the Stranger Things series.
Oh, yeah.
When does that come out? Yeah. If it's a thing. We don't even know if it's a thing. But if it is a thing.
Is it 23 or 24? Yeah.
Right. I mean, from what the reports are is that it already started shooting and is done in secret. And then they're going to announce it at Star Wars Celebration. Because Star Wars Celebration is what? Same thing. A couple months away.
Yeah.
A few months away.
Yeah.
So we're going to get some more information there. We'll get a lot of, whether it's another animated series, where there's, you would assume that's probably what we can talk about a little bit here today also is Star Wars Celebration. So you would assume that you're going to, by the time that it starts, what's the date on that? The date on Star Wars Celebration. Star Wars Celebration dates, I believe it's the end of
May.
June. It's May 26th. So it's going to be, it's legit the day after Obi-Wan debuts. So it'll be, it starts the day after.
Yeah.
So it's very smart. You're going to have a panel for Obi-Wan, no doubt. Hey, did you guys see the first episode? What'd you think? Blah, 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 blah. I wouldn't be surprised if they screened episode 2 for some people. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. There'll be a full panel on it. Maybe they preview episode 2. Maybe they preview the whole series for people. Obi-Wan will have a panel and people will lose their freaking minds over it, right? There'll be news on Acolyte. There'll be news on Andor. There'll be news on all these things that we just covered. The question is, will there be news on any other new series that they could say, hey, and come in? And because remember, I think Acolyte was announced in 2020 and you get it in 2023, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So maybe they announce some new shows that are coming out in 2025, you know, or 2024.
Or their movies.
Or movies was my next run. We're probably going to get finally an announcement whether or not any of these movies stick the landing. Who knows? It doesn't seem like it's possible anymore. Every time they announce a movie, it goes away. But I bet you they announced this John Watts or the young Stranger Things show.
Yeah.
I think they announced that. But the movies, Taika Waititi will probably be there and he'll talk about his. Will Kevin Feige be there for his? But I think we finally get an announcement for a movie. It's always the movie people are going to just say, okay, yeah, at this point when they announce it, it's a, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. It's not there's not enough trust with the movies yet. They've been the worst, I feel like, out of the leading franchises in terms of movie announcements and not following through.
No plan. There's no plan. And it's also because there's still, as we mentioned before, when your goal for TV is bring in more subscribers. It's here's the budget that you have. This is what you have. Bring in more subscribers because people know if I'm subscribing for Obi-Wan, I might not have subscribed for Andor, but I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Because I've subscribed because you brought me in. And then I want to see more. Maybe I'm a Marvel guy, but I'm already subscribed, so I'll watch some of the Star Wars stuff. So it's more about bring in more people so they'll watch it. The movies is you got to make the scratch.
Yeah.
And it's got to be over. It's got to be, if I'm going to spend $150 and $200 million on this movie, it's got to crush on its opening weekend. And people start to panic. And that's why that's not commercial enough. And we got to do that. We got to bring that person in. We got to do that. And they don't trust in the vision the way they do on TV because it's different goals.
Yeah, completely different goals. And the cool part with TV that Marvel showed us last year was that you didn't have to love every show. You could check out every show if you wanted to, right. But you could still be like a Marvel fan.
Yeah.
I wasn't obsessed with Hawkeye. I still watched it, right. And it was cool.
That's right. And you probably wouldn't have subscribed for it.
No.
You probably subscribed for something completely different, but you watched it because you have it.
Yeah.
And that's why you can put 4 or 5 shows out because now you have that audience. Just give them stuff that they can watch, and they're going to watch it. And if you don't care about it, like somebody, if you're a Mandalorian fan, I don't give a shit about Boba Fett. I'm not watching Boba Fett. You don't watch it. Or maybe you tuned into it, you didn't like it, and then you're waiting for Obi-Wan. You're not going to cancel your subscription over it unless each series just starts to be worse and worse and worse, and then there's nothing else on the platform that you don't like. But the likeliness of that is probably slim to none. But with movies,
That's why you keep seeing all this stuff where the person comes in, they have this idea. Like the showrunners are allowed to do their thing on TV. There's notes and there's stuff that they have to do, but they have their vision. Clearly, look at executive producer Robert Rodriguez and what he did, and his vision's all over the damn thing, whether you like it or not. His vision is there. When it comes to the movies, it's like creative differences, so-and-so left. Creative differences, so-and-so left. They weren't seeing eye to eye, so-and-so left. And it's like, it's exhausting. That's why I'd say I don't really, don't care.
I don't care either. Mm-mm. I don't want to pay attention to it until I see a trailer.
Yeah. I mean, Taika Waititi probably right now has enough clout that he'll get his movie done. You know, especially with Thor coming out and everything. He'll get his movie done. It'll be done.
And Taika can do what Taika wants because Taika has every project he's worked on is completely different, but it works because there's like a Taika touch that he has that works.
And he knows how to follow inside of the plan because he's done it with Marvel
He elevated Thor on a whole new level.
He did. And he also added his style to his episodes of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And he'll do the same with the movies if he has a take, depending on what the take is. Now, the question is it something that he wanted to do, or is it something like they wanted to do that they gave him? And does it tie in to anything? I still think that they're making maybe they're not making an error. I think it would be a mistake if they don't follow their TV plan. Connect your movie to your TV shows now. Like, connect it to where, and then Mike goes, everything connects to the TV. It connects to all of it. It doesn't, though. What I mean is whether it's a pilot for a television show or a finale for a television show or something that sets up a different character that can then lead into a show, connect all of it.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? If you're going to have, Marvel's doing it. Like, Marvel clearly is doing it.
Yeah, you can't really watch the movies with, the full depth of it without seeing the shows anymore.
But it also elevates your other stuff. And this is something that you say years ago, that if you would have stuck a character from Rebels or Clone Wars in one of these movies, it's going to see a spike in the viewership on all those shows. Like, I wonder what the spike in viewership of Clone Wars and Rebels was after Ahsoka showed up in Mandalorian.
Yeah,
the people going, who is that?
Yeah, like, cross-referencing.
I wonder what those numbers were like and how it spiked. I mean, shit. You look at the Sopranos when Many Saints came out and during the pandemic, the numbers spiked on that thing, right? Because it was connected to it. So anyway, there's a lot going on, and it's an exciting time for content in Star Wars. It is. Mm-hmm. It's actually more exciting for me now for all these stuff coming out than it was. I'm way more pumped to watch the Star Wars stuff than I was
Force Awakens.
Yeah, I mean, even Force Awakens leading into Last Jedi, I think there was still a lot of okay, how is it going to tie in? What's it going to play? And then after that, the way that just seemed like everybody kind of turned on each other and however you felt about it, it just became less fun to talk about Star Wars. And I remember even when Rise of Skywalker came out, we talked about it. I wasn't really as excited about it as I was Mandalorian. And I stick with that. And I'm like, I have not been as hyped for a piece of Star Wars content like Obi-Wan since Force Awakens. And I feel that this will deliver more so than Force Awakens.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you because I feel like they have the crew that we need. They have the director that we need. They have the story that we've been wanting. Yeah. And I feel like they've caught their flow on what's working and what's not. And hopefully Book of Boba is going to just be more of a learning lesson for them of what worked.
Agreed. And I think that there's more, especially apparently someone made this in the comments, told me in the comments, I think it might've been Miguel actually who said it, that Filoni isn't an executive producer on this show, Obi-Wan. Right. And I said, I even remember interviewing him. He always is consulting. He's part of Lucasfilm. And that's part of his role now. He's always consulting, whether or not he has an executive producer and how much he's time. Because I think he's obviously spending all of his time with the Ahsoka series right now. But when you look at what the relationship that he and Deborah Chow had on Mandalorian, I think, and Miguel didn't say this, but I think you would be a fool not to think that they're not talking to each other.
Yeah, there's a reason why his title is the most open-ended title in Star Wars history.
Right. So, I don't know, man. I'm really pumped for it. And I said this. Someone had asked me on Big Thing yesterday of what director I'd want to see doing a Star Wars property and why. And I said, this is a harder question because I think sometimes directors can just appear out of nowhere that you didn't know you wanted to do shows. And because I didn't know a lot about Deborah Chow before
Mandalorian.
I didn't know anything about her. And now not only has she won countless amount of Star Wars fans over, like myself, she clearly won over Lucasfilm, because not just the idea of the fact that, oh, we're going to give you the entire series to direct, but it's Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Like that, you have to garner so much trust from to go, okay, this is a director who, because you, what they could have said is, hey, she did a great job, but let's get her to do one and we'll bring some other directors on. But they gave her the whole series to tell this story. That is an enormous amount of trust that I think is justified.
I really want to hear the story behind her talks with them.
Me too.
Maybe we'll get one on another gallery or something.
I would love to have her on this show.
Yeah. Oh my God. I would love to
have her on this show. I'm going to try. I mean, I'm still going to reach out, because we're trying to get a Star Wars Sith Council for Star Wars Celebration. If we get that, we haven't been approved for it yet, but if we do get it, I'm going to try to reach out and see if we can get guests. I doubt it, but, you know, if we can get, I mean, I'm only going to, when we say guests, though, I want to make sure it's relevant to what's going on, and I'm going to make a pitch to try to get her. I don't think we will, but I'll try.
Do you have to, what other Asian woman is covering Star Wars? I need her on the Shark Show. Yeah. Asian girl magic. We got to make it happen.
I should have
Deborah.
You make the ask.
Yeah. I'll wear my Asian American Girl Club shirt.
I should have you write the email. But either way, it's an exciting time. And as I mentioned up top, it's kind of a shorter episode today, but it's okay. We have a lot more coming up, and we're going to be covering all this very similar to the way that we did for Boba Fett. I will have my reviews out in the morning for Obi-Wan, and then Mike, myself, and Steph will follow up the following night to go over Obi-Wan in a kind of a longer discussion. So it'll be 6 weeks of that. And then, I mean, we have so much to cover this year. We're going to have that. We're going to have Andor. We're going to have Mandalorian. So we'll be doing that all this season. And I'm so glad that you guys have been checking out us on Spotify. And especially, by the way, for all the people who've just found this show through the Boba Fett reviews and everything too, and you didn't know about the Movie Trivia Schmodown, it is basically, the way I can pitch it now is, every Friday, it's a show called Friday Night Titans. And Friday Night Titans it's going to be our show. It's basically Monday Night Raw, but instead of wrestling, it's movie trivia. And there's characters, there's interviews, there's all of it. It's a big show, and it debuts this Friday at 4 p.m. And I really hope that you check it out. And if you've watched Schmodown in the past and you haven't watched it in a while, please start tuning in now. If you've never watched it, please check it out. I put an iCard link in there so you can go check it out. But for myself and Steph Sabra, please check Steph out on TikTok. She's a TikTok warrior. Go and check her out over there. And we'll be back next week. Will Mike be here next week?
We don't know.
I don't know. You know, it's like it's always a question with Mike. But we'll find out. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. See you next time.
I can feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger.